Well, on November 24th, I actually stood in front of you and talked about darkness. If you might remember that we're all heading into darkness, a dark season of lights, and that for me it's really difficult. And one of the statistics that I went over in regards to this was suicide and how life expectancy has actually dropped because of that one thing. And that I had to remind us all, or you know, remind myself, I guess, that we are in a dark world and a dark society, and it's difficult to go through some of those things and know that we are in a dark society and that we are called to light, and that 1 John would take us through a process, all those little steps that I said in 1 John, the book of love, but also the book light. Well, I had no idea when I talked about that how much darkness my family and I were going to go through in the next 5 weeks. So, but we're here. We're happy to be here. We're happy to worship you. We're happy to praise God. It's almost like while we were talking this morning, I think it was Space Mountain, the roller coaster. I'm usually pretty good at those things, right? I don't get fearful. I got in that thing, I think we were at Disney World, and you go into this dark thing, and you have no idea whether you're on the track or not. You could be hurtling to death, and the only one thing you want to see is that light at the end of the tunnel. The ride's over. Well, that's kind of been our last 5 weeks for us, and the light is at the end of the tunnel, and so I just wanted to refer to that. And by now, you all know, or hopefully you know, the story of what happened. I'm not going to go into graphic detail, but 3 weeks ago, right about now, or just before now, my brother-in-law, who had mental illness, he shot my wife, and then ended his life, which is, of course, difficult. There's so much behind that story, and it went on for years and years and years in regards to mental illness. But you always hope for the best, right? And so it has been a difficult thing to go through, and yet it has been a God thing to go through. And that's really what I want to talk about. Title of my speech is We Were Late, But God Was On Time. A difficult thing to go through, but a God thing to go through. We've been through a God experience. It doesn't always go this way. It doesn't always go this way, and it could have easily gone a different way. And so what I want to do is just simply, I want to go over a few things and just kind of piece this together. This is going to be a little different for me. But one of the things, Jill's in a Bible study, and so she just happened to be in Psalm 37 when this event happened for that week. Psalm 37. I'm going to read a couple scriptures out of there. I'd encourage you to read all of it. There's some negative stuff in there, and I didn't want to really dwell on the negative part, but it just the timing of it was unreal. And we're sitting in the hospital Sunday morning, and we said, you know, let's read this. So I'm going to read a couple scriptures from Psalm 37, verse 1. Don't be upset by evildoers or envious of those who do wrong. Commit your way to Adonai. I'm sorry, 37 verse 1, now in verse 5, 37 verse 5. Commit your way to Adonai, trust in him, and he will act. Adonai knows that what the wholehearted suffer, but their inheritance will last forever. Adonai is the one who saves the righteous, and he is the stronghold in times of trouble. And Adonai helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because he will take refuge in them. The whole chapter is really very poignant for what we've gone through. And like I said, there's several things in there that refer to the negative part about what we went through. Give yourself a chance to go ahead and read through that. And it's very, very, very much applicable to what we've been through. But, you know, this story is really not about my family. You know, this could be about Jill, and this could be about me, and it could be about her family. It could even be about her brother. But this isn't our story. This is God's story, brethren. This is truly a God story. And that's the point that I want to get across today. Like I said, we could be sitting here in entirely different circumstances, but this is an amazing event that we've come in and out of. You know, when Israel was led through the wilderness and Moses gave them the Torah, it's not a story about Israel and Moses and the law. It's really a God story. And when Joshua, you know, when Jericho, the walls came down, that's still a story about God. And when David killed Goliath, those are all God's stories. Those are stories, and this is our little story. I know they're not as big as this story, but it's big to us and maybe big to all of us here. But this is a God story. And the main point that I'm trying to get across here in a loving way is in some way I hope that you can derive some more faith from this event. Because it doesn't always go this way. It did go this way, and it went this way for a specific reason. I count up four miracles. There's, I could give you, you know, probably a dozen from this event that are so rich to me. And by the way, Jill helped me write this speech today. I wanted to make that point. I've forgotten to make it earlier. So we sat down, and really four things we wanted to get across. And the first miracle was the book, as you've heard a lot about this book that Jill had in her hand. And Wendy's here today, Wendy Jacobs. This book was actually intended for Wendy. Many of you may not have known that. We offered that book to Wendy, and she said no, she didn't want it. And so Jill still had the book. And so we were late, as in, you know, I'll get to that. We were late, and she reached back and out of the back of the car and got the book, and that book was given to her by her dad, and then she was going to give it to her nephew. So she had this book in her hand. And here's the crazy thing about this. You know, I don't know any other way to explain this, but this thing hit her exactly. I mean, exactly where it should have hit her. I mean, I asked if the kids were gone. The first attempt was literally right at her heart, and she had this book in her hand, and she was holding it in such a way. Here's the crazy thing. She was left-handed. It didn't hit her arm. It didn't hit her fingers. It didn't hit her face. It wasn't too low or too high to hit more of her skin. It hit the book. It was right there. I mean, that's a miracle, brother, and that was in place the way it is. And the way we've talked about it is you can almost picture the angels in that parking lot directing things in exactly the right way. You can, when you go through something like this, you can totally envision something like this, that God is there, and he was there, and his angels were there, and that book was placed perfectly in place. It amazing. It didn't, and the crazy thing is, it damaged that book entirely, but didn't damage her. I mean, she was hurt, but it didn't damage her. If it wouldn't have been there, we'd be at a different service altogether. That's a miracle. And that is something that we can praise God about. I do. And I hope you all can derive that from this. Psalm 91, verse 4. Somebody sent us this. Jill asked me to read these. Psalm 91 and verse 4. 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His truth is a shield and protection. Psalm 91, verse 11, he will order his angels to care for you and guard you for wherever you go. And that's what happened in that parking lot. And we're totally, totally convinced. Miracle number two, we were late. And this isn't, I don't want to dwell too much on this, but I'm never late. I'm obnoxious about it. I'm cranky about it. I'm unlikable because I'm never late. Well, it turns out, I guess I got to be okay with being late now because totally change the events of the way things could have happened. You know, I'm the type of guy when we got a flight, I want to beat the pilots there. I want to beat the ticket agents there. I want to get through security. And if I have enough time, I want to refuel some of the planes for the airlines just so mine has a place to park. I'm never late. I don't like being late. Well, that day we were late for various reasons. God made us late because I'm never late. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever done this. Probably not. I'm going to admit, because you should confess some of your sins to your brothers. Not all of them, but because we were late, I went a little fast, maybe a little bit over the speed limit. I mean, I was really going. We were listening to a sermon by David Holliday on the way over, and we were late. And brethren, because we were late, we were in a different place than where we could have been. Had we been in the restaurant, it could have been an entirely different situation. As a matter of fact, it would have been an entirely different situation. Because it was all timed out just right, it was a miracle that we were late. That's a big deal. So if you get cranky and you're late, it's not that big of a deal. Who knows, right? Miracle number three, and this is amazing. A week ago, Friday, we had a memorial for Jill's brother, and Jill stood up first and spoke. Now you imagine this, and she forgave him. That's a miracle, brethren. That's unbelievable. I looked at my wife. I'm sorry. She's the strongest woman I know. I don't care who you are, Leah and Leanne and all you. You think you're strong. No, sorry, it's not even close. That's exactly Jesus Christ. That's an act of Jesus Christ. He did the same thing, didn't he? That's Jesus Christ in her. Again, this is not about us. This is not about her. This is about God and what he did. Who does that? Who does that? That's Christ in her. That's a miracle that you can stand up and say the things that she did. It was an incredible event. I'm just in awe of that whole thing. And finally, the last miracle, if I can get through this, is you guys, the love of this congregation. I'd like, if you would, to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, as I'm going to refer to you, and I want you to internalize all of what you hear here, And I want you to think about this being you. Because, brethren, let me be clear. This is you. This is you. I want to start in verse 7. And we all know that 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter. Love always bears up. Brethren, you were there to bear and shoulder the pain of all of this was going on. You were here in a service, unknowing of what was going on. You became instant in prayer, as I've heard. You were here and you bore the burden of what was going on. You are love and you are loving. You were trusting, always trust. Love always trusts, it always hopes, it always endures. Love never ends, verse 8. Prophecies will pass, tongues will cease, knowledge will pass. For knowledge is partial and prophecy is partial. Verse 13. But now for these three things, trust, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. It couldn't have been any clearer. You are loving. You are a loving congregation. I'll be really honest. I'm here because you are. I have been for years because I have felt and known that love and demonstrated so poignantly the last 3 weeks in our life. Sometimes, every once in a while, and I don't hear it very often, somebody will say, well, that's not a very loving church, or that's not a loving church. Next time you hear that, if you do me a favor and just grab the person by the ear like this, be nice, and just pull them right over to me, and I'll set them straight. And I think you guys can all set them straight too. I hear I'm loved here. I'm shown that I'm loved here. I mean, people tell me I'm loved, and I, in turn, I hope, say that I love you back. I want you to, from this miracle, defend God's love. Defend his love. It is active in this church, and it is real, and it's unique. In my view, the reputation of the Seattle Church of God, and this hasn't always been so, it is a loving church, and that is a miracle too, and that is a God story. You know, there's a significant amount of time, and I have struggled a little bit with this. You know, I kind of go in and out of stress on this whole thing, pretty stressful situation where, you know, we can spend all our times on what ifs. What ifs could have happened? I mean, it's a pretty horrible of just any one of the items that had changed, had changed. I mean, it could have been pretty bad, and it didn't. It absolutely didn't. I don't want to spend times on what ifs because God is what is. God is what was and what is. He's not what ifs. And that's really, really important. You could stress about what ifs all day long. And that's not going to get you anywhere. It's what is. God is what is. So we know God doesn't always perform miracles, does he? And sometimes and often he doesn't intervene. In this case, he did. And he deserves our praise. My praise, my wife's praise, my family's praise, this congregation's praise, and anybody that's touched this story, we've got to praise God, brethren, and in your own way, but we've got to learn how to do that. He also deserves, as a friend of mine said, he deserves our praise if this had been a lot worse. This could have been a lot worse, and yet because he is who he is, he still deserves our praise, doesn't he? We're happy to be on this side of the story, but God always deserves our praise. You know, he didn't intervene in Roger and Warren and Walter's life, but he did in Kayleen and Jill's life and my life and Marshall's life. And he deserves praise for all of this. A lot of miracles, brethren. There's a lot of faith building that can be done here if we listen to the story closely, can't there? As I said in my last speech, God is light. First John says, brethren, you are light. The Seattle Church of God is light. It's light to me. It's light to my wife. And it's love and light to all of us. You have helped us immeasurably through a dark time, and we're coming out of that tunnel. We're basically off of the ride. And brethren, you know, we all struggle with where we're at spiritually. We all struggle, and faith has a big part of that. Where's our faith? Where's our love? We're growing in that. We all struggle to a certain degree. This is God's work in us, right? We may think that, you know, we're not where we need to be, and you may not think that you've glorified God in a way that you know you can. The work you may seem to do may be, in your mind, too little, too insignificant, and too late. Brethren, you may feel that way, but let me encourage you. You may be late, but God is on time.